Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be starting to read there from verse 33. We'll read on to the end of verse 36 of Matthew 13. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Matthew 13, verse 33 says, "Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the wheat, of the field. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee again for the truthfulness of thy word. We thank thee that we can again take a look and be reminded of what things will be like on this earth from the time that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on this earth until he comes back. And we thank thee that we can be warned of the dangers that we are facing, warned of the fact that there's going to be a cooling down and rejecting of thee as God and Savior. As time goes on, we see from thy word that it gets worse. But we're thankful also that thy word is still just as real and just as powerful, and people can be saved. And we thank thee that thy Holy Spirit is still working in the hearts of individuals to see them get saved. And we pray, Father, that we would be vessels that are fit for thy use, that we can help others to know the truth. And we can be an encouragement to one another for those of us that are saved. We pray, Father, that anyone listening tonight that does not know thee, that they might see the importance of turning to thee. We pray that our live streaming would be effective and able to help others. And we just thank thee that we still have opportunity to meet together. We thank thee that thy word promises that thy Son is coming back any day. We look forward to that a moment in time, and we also want to be faithful to thee up until that time. So we pray that thy will be accomplished here tonight. Pray that we'd be faithful. Thou wouldst help me to be faithful to the text, faithful to thee and the preaching of thy word, and that we would want to hear from thee and allow thee to direct us, that our response to thy word would be as thou wouldst have it to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is The Subtle Nature of Corruption. The Subtle Nature of Corruption. Today there was an article that I read on the internet news regarding the matter of misinformation. And in that article, they made this statement. They said, what distinguishes misinformation from disinformation is intent, with the latter designed to mislead. So what they're talking about in the articles, they're talking about the what they suggest is the misinformation regarding the Wuhan virus. Now, in the article, they don't call it the Wuhan virus, they call it COVID-19. So the disinformation is coming from the writers of this article, because it is the Wuhan virus. It came from Wuhan province in China. Now, there were other countries involved in the making of this virus. Canada was involved. They had money in it. The United States was involved in it, and other countries as well. But there is much disinformation, as this article says, with regard to the response to this virus from the start. From what is reported, one of the things that we know is effective in helping to protect against the virus is proper level of vitamin D in our bodies. And we also know that ivermectin is being used in other countries to help to fight against the virus before and when a person has the virus. We also know that hydroxychloroquine is being used in other countries to help stop the virus. And yet in Canada, you cannot get ivermectin. No doctor will prescribe it to help in the fight for this, nor HCQ. You can't get them in Canada. Some places in the States, there are some doctors that are prescribing them, but the health officials in the United States don't recommend it. But these are effective means of fighting against this virus. There was a doctor I read about earlier this week, a doctor that I can't remember what state he was from, and he couldn't get the ivermectin in his state, so his family was, they had a hard time finding an airline that would fly him, because he was infected, that would fly him to Texas. He was dying. He was a young doctor, but he was dying from the virus. And they finally found an airline that would fly him to Texas, and within one day of receiving the ivermectin, his health turned around. And within 8 days, even though they thought when they brought him there they wouldn't see him alive, within 8 days he was back home healthy. He's back doctoring again. So it works, and other countries have proven that it works, but our country has its head in the sand. That's called disinformation. All that our country talks about is vaccine, 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 vaccine. Get the vaccine as soon as you can. Get the vaccine. When in reality, it is not a vaccine. A vaccine is something that is a minute amount of the virus that they're trying to protect you from that they inject into you so that your body can build antibodies against that virus. This is called an mRNA, small m, capital RNA, that they are injecting into your body that is not a vaccine. It is another item, which I don't have all the details here, but there are details. I do have them, but not in my notes here, of what this thing actually is. And it's actually a gene-altering therapy. That's what it is. It affects your genes. It doesn't change your DNA, but it affects your genes in some way. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I don't need to be. I just need to read. And the evidence is out there. And yet our officials, whether it's government, whether it's our chief medical officer or our doctors, they refuse to talk about the realities. And they also don't want to talk about the deaths and the side effects that there are to these so-called vaccines. There are a number of people that have died from it. There are a number of people that have long-standing issues with it. And they are saying that for women that are in the child-caring age, it causes miscarriages. And they're saying that it could cause Alzheimer's and dementia. So there are many things that we don't even know, all the side effects of these injections that people are getting. I suppose that there are people that know, but they're not telling us as the public. That's called disinformation. That's intentionally misleading people. That's what's going on right now in our world. I'm going to be writing about that in our devotional for tomorrow as well. But in spite of all of that, we can look to God's word, which is the truth. And that's why the title of the message is Subtle Nature of Corruption. And we need to be aware of how subtly the devil is working at corrupting the truth and causing many people in today's world to think, even now, that there is a massive revival coming yet before the Lord's return. And they use passages like the one we read today to support that false doctrine. When the passage is not talking about one key phrase in this passage, if you just look at it, in Matthew 13, verse 33, you notice there the phrase, which a woman took and the word hid. in 3 measures of meal. That's a very clear indicator. This is not talking about a blossoming of the gospel, because the gospel is not hid. The gospel is openly proclaimed. We're not supposed to be hiding and sneaking the gospel in. There are a lot of religions that do. They try to slip the gospel, and they have friends that have a sports night. And in that sports night, they might have a little blurb where they talk about the Lord, but the rest of the time it's all a free-for-all. Or they have many other things going on where they try to slip the gospel in on the sly without people even knowing you're coming to a preaching service, because that's the last thing they want to do is tell them, come to me with church and hear the pastor preach on this topic. Preaching? I don't want any preaching. You see, that's the mentality of today's people. And so many professing Christians are scared to death of using the Word of God as God intended it to be used. So they're trying to hide it in there, slip it in, and mix it in without anybody even knowing about it. But that's not how the gospel is to be used. That's not how God's Word is to be taught. This church needs to be known. I realize that many people don't come here, but this church needs to be known as a place that preaches and teaches the Word of God. We're not a bingo hall. We're not a soup kitchen. We teach and preach the Word of God. That's what we do. That's what we are. And that's important. That's what every church should be. So the first thing we want to notice from this passage is the place of leaven. It says in verse 33, another parable. This is the fourth of a series of 7 parables. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Not that long ago, my wife made a bread dough, and it looked very nice. She put it in the bowl, and she has this special bowl, and you have a lid for it, and she put the lid on it, and then she put it close to our wood stove to where it was warmer so it would rise. And usually when that dough rises, it pops the lid off, because the dough is rising and the pressure in there, it pops the lid off. Well, this dough wasn't rising. It was in the bowl. It looked very nice. It was in the bowl, but it wasn't rising. So she began to wonder, now why is that dough not rising? And she realized she forgot one key ingredient. She forgot the yeast. So now what? Well, what she did is she took that dough, put it back in the mixer, mixed some yeast up with a bit of water, and remixed it, and set it out to rise again. And guess what? It rose. And it made nice bread. She proved the bun she made with it too. But you see, that leaven was important in that dough. Very important to make it rise. If she had not done that, we might have baked it and had some hockey pucks. I don't know. But you see, she realized what her mistake was, and she corrected it, and it worked. So leaven has its place in the secular world. It's important for rising of dough. But when it comes to the spiritual world, as we're going to see here, it also has a purpose, but that purpose is not good. So the second thing we want to notice is the place of the woman. Of the 7 parables that we have in Matthew 13, 5 of them directly mention a man sowing the seed, a man going out and, what's one of the other ones here? The grain of mustard and so on. It's a man. In the last one, in verse 47, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, when it was full, they drew to shore. Now, it doesn't say a man or men, but who does the fishing in Bible times? Men. So we can assume that it's men. But this particular parable that we have today, Jesus specifically says a woman. A woman took it. Now, in the Bible, God made the woman. He made the woman to be a help meet for the man. And we find that after the fall, that the woman, in fact, the woman, she's not credited with the fall, but the woman was deceived and convinced her husband to take of the forbidden fruit. The woman, due to the fall, her nature changed, and so did the man's. The man, immediately after the fall, saw the woman as the problem. Adam blamed God for giving him Eve. What he did not admit is that he chose to ignore God and listen to the woman at that time. We noted before that Abraham, a godly man in general, but Abraham listened to some bad advice from Sarah and he committed adultery with Hagar, and the result being Ishmael, the Ishmaelites. Enemies of the nation of Israel, enemies, really, of the world, enemies of God. Not Ishmael, personally, not his fault, but his character was such that his descendants were generally God-haters. We know that King Solomon, the Bible says that he married many wives, and his wives turned his heart away from God. We know also that Ahab, one of the kings of the north, had a wife named Jezebel. Jezebel was a real woman. She was a wicked woman. She influenced Ahab in wicked ways. Again, Ahab couldn't blame her. He was what did I hear the other day, a preacher? You know, some of you have laughed at me when I talk about men that are wet noodles. This preacher called men that don't want to stand, he called them soft noodles. So maybe we could use that term. But generally, it's people that don't have a backbone. Ahab didn't have a backbone. He allowed his wife to manipulate him, and she was a wicked woman. She even had influence over the southern tribe of Judah. Athaliah was married Jehoshaphat's son, and out of that came wicked rule. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 20, Jesus Christ refers to a spirit that was in the church of Thyatira, that Jezebel spirit, that spirit of wickedness that was infiltrating the church in Thyatira, that Jezebel from the Old Testament was involved in the murder of Naboth. And that spirit of wickedness was in the church in Thyatira. And here, this woman in our parable, leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. So this woman, Jezebel, or this woman, sorry, in our text here, not Jezebel in our text, but similar idea, this woman took and hid these three measures of meal, in three measures of meal. So the leaven we find from practical, physical understanding that the amount of yeast or leaven that you put into a dough is just a fraction of the entire dough. If you take and compare on a scale and you put the yeast on one side and the flour on the other, the scale would be way off. The flour would be way heavier than the yeast. It's a fraction of the flour, which is the main ingredient in a dough. So here we see that this woman here, she took leaven and she hid it in three measures. She hid it in three measures. So the third point we have is the disastrous results of the woman's actions. Now, it says here, till the whole was leavened. And as we noted already, that In baking, leaven is very important. If you want to have a dough that rises, if you want to have a nice fluffy bread and a fluffy bread or bun, I mean, you need leaven in there. For the Lord's Supper, we have an unleavened type of biscuit that we're using for that. That's very flat and it's very hard, and it's not something that I think we would run to and say, can I have some of that for my breakfast tomorrow? But you see, the leaven, unleavened bread that is used for the Lord's Supper is not cement, is not meant to be tasty. It's meant to be used as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's body, leaven in the Bible being a picture of sin, and the unleavened bread being a picture of the pure body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word leaven or unleavened in the Bible, let's see if I wrote it down here. I think it's 50-some times. I guess I didn't write it down. I should have. It's 50-some times, I believe, that that word is used in the Old Testament. And the majority of the time that it's being used in the Old Testament, it's being used as unleavened. Speaking of the Passover in Exodus 20, verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So God was teaching the nation of Israel here at the start of this teaching on unleavened bread the importance of listening to what he had to say. Anybody, he says here, that has leavened bread in their house from the first day till the seventh day, that person is to be cut off from Israel. It was not allowed for them to have any leaven in their houses or to bake anything with leaven during the days of unleavened bread, which followed immediately after the Passover. So God was teaching them the severity of ignoring or neglecting to follow his instructions on this matter. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." So again, God is reminding the nation that he has brought them out of Egypt, which Egypt was a real place, but in the Bible it's also being used as a picture of the world and sin. And so as they partook and remembered that day, it says here, when he took them out, they were not to have any leavened bread and eat any leavened bread. In Leviticus 2, verse 11, and I'm just picking a few out of the, I think it's 53 or something, I can't remember the number now. I should have written it down. I don't know why I didn't. But anyway, Leviticus 2, 11, it says, "No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire." So not only the Passover and the days of unleavened bread after the Passover, there was to be no leaven, but in their sacrifices, there was to be no leaven in their sacrifices that were made to God, except there's one exception in Leviticus 23 and verse 17, where we read, "Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of the tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord." That's the exception to the rule that we have in the Old Testament. In the book of Amos, I didn't put the reference down, but in the book of Amos, God rebukes the nation of Israel and tells them to bring their leaven in their bread because that's what they're accustomed to bringing to the idols that they've been serving. But he's not wanting it for his sacrifice. But here in Leviticus 23:17, because this is not a burnt offering, this is a wave offering, and I believe that the reason that he says that the leaven can be in that baking is because It says they are the first fruits unto the Lord, and it's a reminder to the nation of Israel how that the little that they have becomes big when God is in it. And God was blessing their harvest. That's what their first fruits was about. So in that instance alone, God tells them to bring the wave offering, bacon with leaven. But keep in mind, in our text, we could argue, well, why can't that be what Jesus is talking about here? Well, again, the key phrase, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. In Leviticus 23, verse 17, they weren't hiding these 2 loaves. They were taking these 2 loaves and waving them before the Lord in thanksgiving for his blessings to them. But here in our passage, the woman is hiding this leaven in the 3 measures of meal. So that's a clear indicator, as the other parables also are, that what we have here is a corrupting of the gospel, not a purifying of it and many being saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, we read there of the deceptive nature of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So Satan comes across as an angel of light. He comes sneaking in and presents himself as the truth when he is anything but the truth. And that's what we're seeing today. We have many false gospels today. We have many groups, religious groups out there who say, "Follow us, we're the truth. Follow us, we're the truth." The JWs go and visit and knock on doors and say, "We want to give you," they used to give it, now they want to sell you their Watchtower magazine. I guess they're not as rich as they used to be. Maybe their people aren't giving enough. Used to be that the Watchtower people, or the JWs, I mean, they have to give 30% of their income to their religious organization. But maybe they don't have enough people anymore. Maybe they're too greedy and they want more. So now they want to sell you that magazine. It isn't worth the paper it's written on. But they claim they're the truth. Seventh-day Adventists say the same thing. The Mormons say the same thing. Everybody says, "We've got the truth." And so for the lost person, it can be very confusing. Who should we believe? The only difference is, for instance, when it comes to this Wuhan virus and the instructions we've been given, I watched a bit of a monologue on, what's her name? Bonnie Henry, I think is her name, the medical chief doctor in BC. And the contradictory statements that she has made over the 13 months regarding mask wearing. And one time, "No, you don't need to wear masks." Then, "Oh yes, we have to wear masks. And masks help. And that, no, masks don't help anything outside." So contradictory. And people are complaining. It's very confusing to know what we should be doing. The difference is, in the spiritual realm, there are so many false religions all telling us they're the truth. The difference is that we have the Holy Spirit, who is working in the heart of every lost individual to guide them to the truth. So any person that will let God draw them will be able to come to the truth in spite of the knocking on the door of the JW and the Mormon and the Seventh-day Adventist and the Catholic, and they don't knock on doors. But in spite of all the false religion, anybody that is allowing God to draw them will come to the truth. So that's the difference that we have with the gospel. God wants people to be saved. But we see the nature of leaven in this context, how that the leaven, when you take and you bake something with yeast, if you were to take that loaf of bread and you slice a slice off of there, and if I was to ask you, "Now, can you point out to me, where are the flakes of yeast in that slice of bread. You couldn't point them out to me. Because it's mixed in with the dough. It does its work, but you can't point out to me, that's a flake there, that's a flake there. You can't do that because it's hidden in there. And that's the nature of false religion. It's subtle, it sneaks in, and it does its work, and it's so subtle that most people can't even see what's going on. I remember, again, as a young person in the church that we attended, that I attended, my parents attended, and were members of. I wasn't, but they were. But I remember, and I've mentioned it here before, when they changed Bibles, and they gave the young people a New English New Testament. And I remember some of the older men in the church at that time. I was maybe 12 years old, but I remember some of the older men were very concerned. Why were we going away from the King James Bible? Because they were using the King James back then. And I don't remember what the answer was that was given. But you see, they had a concern, but they didn't stop it. They let it stand. And it snuck in. And of course, I learned later on that there were problems even before that in that church in regard to compromise. But you see, it works so subtly over time. And unless you're paying attention, as you're saved, first of all, and paying attention, these changes come in so subtly that you don't realize the danger, the damage that's being done. And that's what I've said in the past about new evangelicalism. It's like the frog in the pot of water. And you put that frog in there with that cold water, and then you turn the heat on, and that frog just, the water warms up around that frog, and he doesn't realize until he's boiled and you're taking and eating his legs that it's too late. That's the nature of sin. That's the nature of compromise that's taking place in so many religious groups today. That's why we need to be so careful here. That's why I've said before that no one will ever step into this pulpit with anything but a King James Bible. And if I am here and I hear that person reference some perversion in their preaching, I'll stop them, and that'll be the end of that message, because we're not going to have that. We're not interested in any subtle means of trying to change what the Word of God says. I remember in the church I pastored in Ontario, a woman was in the service, and during the service she says, I feel like getting up and speaking in tongues. I said, no, you don't. And she sat back down, and that was the end of that. There's no way that that's going to happen. Not when I'm here. That's just not going to happen. We have to understand the detrimental, the damaging nature of leaven when it comes to spiritual things. In verse 34, we've looked at these verses before, but just by way of reminder, it says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus explained earlier on why he spoke in parables, because the hard-hearted Pharisees weren't interested in the truth, so he wasn't going to give it to them. And then you notice in verse 36, it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away. So when we come to the last three parables, Jesus is now in the house with his disciples. The multitude is gone. So the last three the parables are going to be addressed to the disciples. They needed to have further teaching on this same problem. What's the kingdom of heaven like? What's going to be happening from the time that Jesus left this earth until the time he comes back? But very important here to notice the change in scene. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. He had given them a taste. Many of them were not interested. You notice that it was the disciples in verse 36. It says, "And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us this, the parable of the tares of the field." It wasn't the crowd, wasn't the multitude that said, "Explain it to us." It was the disciples. The multitude, they weren't interested. They liked Jesus' teaching. In back in chapter 5, I believe it is. Chapter 7, verse 28, it says there, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." They were impressed with his teaching, but not impressed enough that they wanted to actually know what he was saying. They just were tired. You know, when I listen to some of the politicians that get in front of the camera and they're, they can't make a sentence, I just click away from that. I don't have time for that. I'm so tired of that kind of stuff. I don't want someone that has to make up their story as they're going along. You obviously don't know what you're talking about. And so you're going to try and fill in the blanks. So the "ah" is there because you don't know what to say next. And so you put an "ah" in there until you figure out what's my next word. Well, if you don't know what you're talking about, get off the stage. What's the point? And so the people in the scriptures here, they were impressed with Jesus because he knew what he was talking about. He said it with conviction. But they really weren't that interested in what he was saying. And so in verse 36 here, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." So you and I today, we need to have an interest in God's word. God's not going to force himself upon us. It's up to us. We're commanded, if we're saved, 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're commanded by God to study his word. But he's not going to cram it down our throats. It's up to us. Are we going to take it or are we not? And of course, the lost in general, they have no interest. That's why you see people, they drive by this building, they walk by this building, so they try to look in the window if they can, they try to see who's here, try to see what we're doing. But they have no interest in coming in. They're not knocking on the door, they're not banging down the door. They're just curious. And right now, in the time that we're living, they're curious if they can find fault with us. Because they'd like to have us shut down. So we need to understand that the nature of corruption is very subtle. You know, the devil has a lot of time, a lot of patience. He's been working since Genesis chapter 3. He's been working on finding ways to break down every generation that comes into this world. And he's used many different tactics as we look in the world, in the Bible. I mean, as we look in the Bible, we see many different tactics that the devil has used to try to break people down. And he's been quite successful. And he wants to break this generation down too. And as I mentioned, I believe it's going to be in tomorrow's devotional, talking about how that our governments are being pawns in the devil's hand. Because if you look at the restrictions that they put out, the restrictions are much tighter for churches than they are for pretty well anything else. Now, why is that? If we pay attention to the news, I haven't heard, maybe you have, but I have not heard that there's been a major outbreak in any church. Whether it's the many false churches or when it's a real, I have not heard of any major outbreak in a church. And yet the restrictions are tighter for a church than for anything else. Why is that? Does that not make you consider that possibly our governments are trying to stop the spread of the gospel. And we know that is what they are doing. They want the gospel stopped. They want any opposing view to what they want us to believe to be stopped. In China, we've talked about before, any true church is an underground church. They cannot meet openly. Even false religions like Falun Gong can't meet openly in China. They have to hide because their philosophy is different than the government. And in Canada, the government of Canada right now is telling the media, they're paying the media, and they're telling the media to spread their lies, and they're trying to shut down any opposing view. This past weekend, there was several politicians in Ontario that were at different rallies speaking against the lockdowns. And two of those politicians, actually three of them, received tickets for standing up and speaking against the lockdowns. Now, it's supposed to be a free country, but they were ticketed for speaking against the lockdowns. These were politicians. These weren't even Christian men. But they have an opposing view to what the world, what the government wants us to believe and think. And so they ticketed them. The police were watching. The police, even in one place, they had roadblocks up. First they said, no, we're not going to bother you. We'll leave you alone. But then they put roadblocks up so people could not drive to the venue. They had to walk there. And there was still a crowd of over 1,000 people. So it didn't work. They stopped people from driving, but people still came. But that's where we're at today. And you see, the devil does not want God's truth to get out. So he's mixing the leaven with the truth. And then when you do that, you don't have the truth. And our governments want to stop the truth. Get rid of it. They don't like it. Because they have an agenda, they're blinded by the devil, and they have a philosophy that the only hope for our, not just our country, but the only hope is a one world system. And they're pressing toward that one world system. And they're going to get it. They're going to get it. When the time is right, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have the trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the air, and we're going to be out of here. And then that one world system can come in. The Antichrist is going to come marching in. The world's going to cheer him on. He's our Savior. And they're going to find out just what kind of a ruthless man he is. But he'll be in charge for 7 years. And at the end of that time, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and destroy the Antichrist. He's going to go into the lake of fire. The devil's going to be bound and put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. And at the end of that time, the devil's going to be let loose. And many of those who have been living under that righteous rule of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to rebel against him. And the devil is going to try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to end that very quickly. Nobody's going to get killed that's saved. And the devil's going to be cast in the lake of fire. And then comes the great white throne judgment. And all the lost people will be judged and cast in the lake of fire. So the devil has an agenda. And his agenda is being played out. God also has a plan. And God's plan is for people to be saved. And those that are saved are safe and secure for all of eternity. The important thing is to know the truth, to walk in the truth, and guard against this leaven, this compromise that the woman wants to hide in the meal. God is not against women, by the way, but we know the nature of an ungodly woman. She's very subtle. We also know the nature of an ungodly man. ungodly men are easily bought by a subtle woman. Easily bought by a strange woman. That's very evident in our society. That's very evident from the Bible. And those of us that are saved need to understand that that's our sin nature is that way. But as Christians, we cannot yield to that. We've been saved, but the old man is still there. We need to identify that and forsake that, reject that. Follow the truth and honor God. So the important thing is to know the truth, to be saved, and then to walk with God according to His Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening for Thy truth. We thank Thee again for reminding us of the corruption that is taking place even in our midst today. We see so much of it in our world. We see it happening in religions that at one time seemed to be strong, but have forsaken the truth, have allowed the enemy to come in and to hide that leaven in the meal. And seemingly, so many people, they just, well, yeah, change, things are changing, but it's still okay. Still got the right Bible. Still singing hymns. It's so subtle. I pray, Father, that Thou wouldst help us, that we would have discernment here, that we would stick to the truth and not allow the enemy to spread that leaven, to hide it in the mix. We pray again for anyone that's listening that's not saved, that they might see the deceptive nature of that leaven. They've been deceived by that. But we're thankful that Thy Holy Spirit is still working, still seeking to save the lost, bring them to that place of recognizing the need to repent toward Thee and be saved through the blood of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that many would be saved in these last days and that we'd be faithful in preaching the truth to help people to know the truth. May Thy will be accomplished in this place and through the work of this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.